Sacramento.
Glory, glory, Sacramento. Glory, glory, Sacramento. The Republic marches on.
Roro with the goal.
Roro's going to take a shot. Oh, my, do you believe it?
Cameron Nwassa charging forward, looking for a team to strike on distance, and it rattles in! Cameron Nwassa, the Sacramento kid!
That it was less about if and more about when Sacramento was going to join Major League Soccer. Well, folks, when is today? Your when has arrived.
Hello, Sacramento, and welcome to the Rise of the Republic podcast. I'm your host, Blake Marquez, joined, as always, by Richard Ivanowski. Richard, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Overall, pretty satisfied with tonight's result. 3 points. The Sacramento Republic move into a tie in points with Reno. They are going to be in second place due to goal differential, but they've won two games against their arch rival, Reno 1868. So, I mean, there's not much to complain about.
No, yeah. I mean, we went into this game, the last podcast, kind of expecting a loss, right? And it was a struggle. It definitely had more of a derby feel to it, which I enjoyed. Lots of yellow cards, especially on our end. Aggressive, all that, and you know it's a competitive matchup. Really, all that separates us as far as score goes are PKs.
Yeah, so, you know, twice now, it's crazy.
Twice, and I think it's just a great matchup. There's a real home and away atmosphere there too. It seemed like Reno were more likely to win it even as the game started. But we hung in there, and we pulled it off, and no complaints.
Yeah, absolutely. I predicted a loss last episode. I was wrong. Happy to be wrong. But I will say, to give myself a little bit of credit, I did predict at the beginning of this game a goal for William Bijev, and he came through on the penalty. So one prediction wrong, one prediction right. I'll take the push.
Yeah. So was that based off of just body language stuff? Because I know you've been on him a lot about just kind of looking down in the dumps. And did just seeing him play out there for the first couple minutes kind of change your mind about the way this performance was going to be?
Yeah, body language stuff and just a couple of crisp first touches. He just looked a little bit like a step ahead of everyone else on the pitch, at least all the Reno defenders. He just seemed to be, you know, playing that chess game and playing a few moves ahead. And yeah, the body language stuff, I'm glad you asked. That is what I think a lot of it came down to. I think getting the start for him gave him a little more confidence. He's been coming on as a sub, and I think that gave him the boost that he needed. And yeah, really sharp tonight.
Yeah, no complaints at all. Really good game out of him. Can we kind of jump around again like we did last episode? Just kind of jump around and talk about different dynamics of the game, or do you want to go minute by minute?
Yeah, I like jumping around. I think it lets us do a shorter podcast, and we can get it out quicker. We can usually get it out the night of the match by like midnight or so. So I think that's fun. I will say maybe we should just start with the lineups and then get into whatever stood out to us.
Okay, awesome. I'll let you take over the lineups.
All right, in goal, we had Rafael Diaz on the back line, McCrary, Sargis, Hilliard-Arce, and Apollon. Listed on the telecast as five midfielders, Belmar, Bijev, Villarreal, Skundrich, Werner, and Iwasa as the lone man up top.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back into the when you have five guys in the mid, you know there's going to be two out on either flank, three in the middle, and it kind of just depends on the flow of the game, the way you kind of you want it. And the way it's going to look on paper might not necessarily be the way it looks out on the field, but you kind of can get a good idea of what the mentality is. And I think, you know, I said before the pod, this was a big change. Everything seemed to – we seemed to see a lot of changes this game. And I think one of the biggest changes was we looked to sit back a little more. We still got in our opponent's face a little bit, but we seemed like we had kind of agreed as a team. Like Briggs may have let the team know, like, hey, let's let them come at us a little bit. And one thing I noticed, I don't know if you noticed this, but I know we've been talking about it, is we seem like more of a first half team. And I think with this game, we sat back, and then by the time that second half started, now we were ready to go play some soccer, which is great because we had already had our first goal. So we were going into it ahead already. So I think I kind of like this tactic a little bit, although I loved our aggressive, in-your-face style of play, which seemed to change a little bit. What do you think?
That's a good point. I think that there's been a lot of chances in first halves so far this season. And maybe they run out a little bit of gas. We've noted before that around like the 60th to 70th minute, this team does seem to be running out of gas. That wasn't the case tonight. And you can probably write some of that off onto, you know, lack of fitness due to this super long break mid-season. Hard to say exactly, you know, where that came from. But, yeah, I mean, a little bit of conservation of energy, taking their chances when they were there, but not a lot of frantic runs just for the sake of it. I'd say like the shot count was lower in the first half than we normally see it, but you know, then the chances were there in the second half as well. The subs I thought were decent. I feel like a lot of the subs we've seen so far have been like low energy guys. I've complained about this before. Subs come on and don't feel like subs. They don't feel like they're injecting a ton of energy into the team. I think that was better tonight.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I know. You know, I think the first sub we saw was of someone who hasn't been subbed out yet. And I mean, in Hayden Sarges coming out for Dekel Kanan, which we weren't sure when we were talking, we weren't sure how that was going to be for us. But man, I was really impressed with Dekel Kanan's performance. I thought he looked like a rock back there. He was, you know, diving in, cutting balls out that were getting brought through, getting in the way of crosses, getting in the way of, you know, corners as well, heading a lot of balls out, but getting in the way of crosses that were brought in on the ground with some slides as well. That was a really impressive performance. He really showed his age with his knowledge of the game and stuff like that. Really, really great job. Experience was the word I was looking for.
I'm actually going to disagree with you. I thought I would save this. Yeah. I thought this would be a conversation worth saving for the recording. We're texting a little bit during the game, but yeah, I mean, I think he was fine. Have you ever heard of the slang term jag? In terms of a sports player, like in terms of an athlete?
No.
So JAG, it's JAG. It stands for just a guy. And I feel like Kanan is kind of a JAG. He's just kind of a guy. He's just kind of a body. And like, yeah, he's an experienced guy and he's not going to make a ton of mistakes, I would say, except for he did get a card and then a handball, like, you know, really close together, 57th minute and 60th minute. That was a scary moment where, you know, it was very close. Reno wanted that to be a penalty. He wanted that to be in the box. It could have gone that way. But anyway, getting back to my point, I think he's, you know, he's a smart guy. Generally not going to be a big mistake guy, but he's also not going to give you anything special. I think he's just kind of a guy. And it's worth noting he's 35 years old, soon to be 36 next month. So yeah, I don't think that I have any excitement for his place in the team.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't want him to like take Hayden's starting spot by any means. I just was, you know, I was pleasantly surprised, and you know, in my opinion, by some of the cutouts that he had. I thought there was the two main ones in my head were, I thought, pretty crucial cutouts. And but you're right. I kind of when I was making my little speech about it, I did forget about the, you know, the red card or the yellow card and then the handball right after. That was a heart and stomach moment for sure, because they were adamant that was going to be a PK, and just outside the box, luckily, is what it was ruled. So
yeah, I mean, I think that the move tonight to bring him on for Sargis, I don't have a problem with, because I think it was pretty clear what the idea was, to go from an 18-year-old to a 35-year-old just to shore up some positioning issues. Probably, like you've mentioned before, Sargis, while he's incredibly talented and he's going to give you these flashes of complete brilliance, doing a lot of things that other center backs can't do, he also is going to have moments where he's not quite sure who's marking. He's not quite sure where to be. He's a little overly aggressive. Sargis had a yellow, a pretty aggressive yellow that, yeah, was also another frightening moment. So, like, you know, it was just shaky ground on both of their parts at certain times. But the move here was to go from a guy that's very inexperienced to a guy that's very experienced in order to secure 3 points against a rival and a very good team. So no problem with that as the call. I'm not sure that I was as impressed as you are.
So, I mean, we've talked about some changes in the team, some changes in performances. You know, we're differing on Dekel. We understand the change from Hayden. How do you feel about Rafael Diaz?
I mean, incredible. Not to spoil what we do at the end of the podcast, where we name our three players of the match, our three favorite players of the match. But Diaz would be my number one. He's going to be my number one. I thought he was the man of the match for sure. 5 saves, clean sheet, third consecutive clean sheet. Has not allowed a goal this season. Not trying to jinx that too hard. But, yeah, no, he's looked fantastic. Yeah, what did you think?
I think it's his spot to lose at this point. You know, you come in and, you know, we haven't seen Grinwis get tested the way Diaz got today. I mean, it wasn't crazy, crazy tests, but he definitely needed to pull some stuff off today, and he did it. I think it's his spot to lose at this point. I mean, there's no way you rotate at this point. I don't, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would say definitely this is his spot to lose. And, you know, during the game, I was thinking, in previous games, when he got the start, the first time he got the start, I assumed that it was, all right, they're going to keep their second keeper in shape or give this guy a chance to prove himself. I did not think that it was anything other than that. And then he started to really earn those minutes. And then I thought, okay, well, he's just taking the job on pure merit at this point. But I think it's a third thing. It's door number three, unfortunately, because just before the match, I saw that Grinwis has a torn MCL. So yeah, that was the, I don't know. I will ACL, excuse me, anterior ACL, not MCL, excuse me. Which is a serious issue. That's a ligament tear of the knee. That's a really, really tough loss, even if Diaz is playing well.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, with an injury like that, any, you know, sports fan should know that's, we're talking months, not weeks. So that's pretty awful to hear, but at least Diaz is playing good.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. this team's been, you know, nicked up and knocked up, and this is I think the second really serious injury of the season. Barahona out for the year. With the shortened schedule, this could easily be Grinwis out for the year. I don't want to put that out there. I'm not reporting that. I'll have to check in with that. But, yeah, obviously a bad news, like you said, months, not weeks. And it that could, with this shortened season, it could be the season. But, yeah, I mean, thankfully Rafael Diaz is there. Wishing Grinwis a quick recovery, but, yeah, that's tough.
Another guy I want to talk about is and I want to get a performance, you know, critique by you. How'd you feel about Belmar today?
You know, I'm all for giving Belmar chances. I thought that he was a little bit better today than in previous matches. He had a header early. I think that was the first real chance for the Republic that could have gone in. Was a nice run by him. Good job tracking the ball in the air. I like his physicality. Like, I've complained before about a lack of physicality up front for this team. I like that he can do that. And I know that he's got a history of doing well at this level, so I believe in him, but I still haven't seen it yet. What is that called, that dribble move he does basically every time?
Like, I literally was going to just say, like, he needs a sign, like the, like one of those highlights on his videos that just has an arrow pointing to him. It's like, I do stepovers, because it's all he does.
It's and all he does.
It gets people sometimes, but there was one time where he did the first stepover, took the guy, and then committed to his second one, took the guy the other way, and then did a third one. Because it's almost like he didn't think the first two were going to work, and then they did. And then the third one, the defender was like, all right, not again, and then stopped him. But it was – yeah, I mean, he loves to do that move, and it works sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. I would say that move just in general has like a 50% fail rate. But
I mean, it's not even like – I would say it's even more directed or more – it's not just the step over. It's like he does like, it's a step over, but it's like always exactly three steps or four steps. And then he always takes it with his outside foot and then puts his head down and delivers a totally blind cross. Like, it's mm-hmm. always that exact sequence.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. It's super predictable at this point. Like, I'm sure teams are having conversations about it at this point. I mean, they almost have to be. But like I said, sometimes it just works because it's just, you know, you make it seem like you're going to go one way with the outside of your foot and you take it the other way. Ronaldo used to do these way back in the day when he was with Man U, where it would just be like just four, five, six stepovers in a row. And it's like, all right, at that point, you're just working off intimidation because they know you're Ronaldo. Because that's not – I never use that move like that. I'll do it one time and then take someone the other way. But it's fun.
It's kind of like James Harden-esque, where, like, he'll get you in his crossover and he'll just, like, start dribbling. But, like, his dribbles between the legs – like, he'll do, like, six, seven hesitations between his legs. But it's like he's not really moving or doing anything. It's not accomplishing anything. Eventually, yeah. The defender's just like, all right, I'm just going to stand here until you do something.
Right, exactly. Where it's like, all right, now I'm okay. So I get it. I have to just not bite, and you're either gonna run into me, or I'll get to actually pick the way you're going. Yeah, super, super fun to watch, but kind of pointless at a certain point.
Yeah, but overall, I think there needs to be a rotation at a lot of spots in this team. This is something that talked about with GT when he came on. GT is a big proponent of having your 11 and going with the same 11 as much as possible. I don't think that this team is in that spot. I think there's got to be a lot more rotation. I think that in an ideal world where Roro is fully fit and fully healthy and fully available for 90 minutes, it's him, and Villarreal and Skundrich in the middle with kind of Willer Amanu rotating in. And you have on the wings, you have Belmar, Werner, and Bijev like kind of rotating through. So I don't think that like – I don't want to like just only use Belmar as a sub or, you know, always have him in the starting 11. I think like, you know, Werner, I probably on the top of that group for me. But I'm kind of okay with if Bijev is in form, play Bijev. When he's out of form, go to Belmar.
Yeah, I mean, I was driving to work today and I was really thinking about just like squad rotation and just possibilities and like the just overall depth of the team. And it's just starting to feel to me like we may just have a depth issue in our wide areas. Cause like we know Sam is going to play good. We know he's going to play good. He's probably the best winger on the team at the moment. But when you have Bijev and Belmar not show up in the same day, you're stuck with a wing that's vulnerable. Or I guess in, you know, it's non-existent. But I don't know. How do you agree with me on that? What do you think?
No, that's totally fair. I would say the only other spot that I would want to address before that or above that or the same level as the wing would be probably left back. So Gomez can play there a little bit. He's coming back. So we'll see. But I'm not – like it's pretty much been McCrary and Apollon forever, and then except for Mahoney got that one game and then he got – two yellows and immediately had to sit for this one. So Apollon and McCrary, it's like, and then McCrary keeps getting shots. He got that big knock in the head from Sargis last game, friendly fire. And then again, he got the wind knocked out of him from Diaz today coming to clear the ball out. So I'm like worried every time that McCrary is going to get hurt. And Apollon, like, I think he's been so much better than expected, but he still is a dude that walked on. So I'd probably say, you know, get me a fullback and then a winger, and those would be my spots that I'd want to address.
You know, I almost think if I'm going to lean and agree on you with you, because if we had a better fullback on the left, we could probably move Apollon into the mid on one of the flanks. I'm like super convinced of that.
Yeah, that would be nice. And also if Bijev really plays like he does tonight, then you put Bijev and Werner on the wings full time. And then you can do, you know, Apollon and Belmar as kind of rotating in or subbing there. And then I'm actually good to go with those. With the you know, either side of the midfield, assuming that right back, left back is short up.
One thing you said earlier is you thought maybe Bijev might have had a little more pep in his step due to getting a start, and he hasn't gotten a lot of starts this season, but he has had a few in the beginning when he kind of looked out of form. One thing I thought was maybe it was the position that he was playing, because he was playing more of a 10, at least for a while. I know that creates a lot of like rotation issues with our center mid, but that's even something where I'm like, man, maybe if you know, Bijev plays like this as a 10, then maybe he gets the nod as a 10 from now on behind Awasa.
He's really all over the shop. He's been subbed on as a striker. He's been starting on the wing. He's this time starting kind of in the midfield, the 10. Yeah, I mean, he's really been all over the place. I think in the very first game way back against FC Tulsa, I actually might have this wrong, but I thought he was just starting on the at left midfield there, like really having to range back, and that wasn't working. So he's really been all over the shop.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, things are – open for, I think with him, you just got to find a place where he looks like he's going to do well. Cause he just, yeah, like, I don't know. It just seemed promising to me that he looked like he was a little more excited. And I don't know if that's just you know, we never know with these guys. It could be home life. I always, like, whenever there's big questions like that where it's like we know this guy has the quality, but he's just not feeling it this week and there's no injuries, there's no – that's like – I almost am just willing to throw it into blaming it on home life stuff, which you'll never know about.
Yeah, it could be chemistry issues with this team. They could be working to gel a little bit more. It could be – yeah, like you said, I mean, there's a lot going. It's 2020, you know what I mean? Weird stuff's happening. It could be any number of issues. Truly, it could be anything. I want to talk about one other guy here in the midfield. I don't think we talked about him much. Roro came on. In the last podcast, we mentioned him, mentioned his absence. We didn't know what the injury was at the time. It's a broken nose. You saw it today wearing the protective hard plastic face mask. I mean, what did you see from him in the limited time he came on as a sub?
Just noticed he was in the back of the midfield. In the back of the midfield, playing more as a – so is it – I should know this, but is it Registrista? Or is it – what is that role that he plays, the Italian one?
Regista.
Regista. I always get it messed up, mixed up. I like always want to add syllables to words and stuff. But yeah, he's playing more of that role. He's kind of sitting in the back, but not really expected to break up play as much as he is expected to just get the ball and distribute. It was a fine substituted performance out of him. I didn't hate it, you know, as a comeback.
I think, were you telling me about this pivot role as well? Could you explain what that position is, that kind of subset of the position is?
Yeah, so I'm still learning it. I'm watching a lot of YouTube videos and taking some coaching courses on that role specifically. But from my super like rudimentary understanding of it is that's a role where you kind of are a more playmaking defender, or playmaking defensive midfielder, where you're going to go down in between your center backs and they'll be able to spread out, which kind of creates three in the back. Your fullbacks can head up and then maybe you get the ball delivered to your feet. You'll turn. It just creates a lot more problems for the front line of the opposing team and the midfield, because that you're expected to come down with your defense a little more. Like I said, that's super rudimentary. I'm still kind of understanding how that role works. I wouldn't label him as a pivot from my understanding of the role.
So that's kind of – the pivot refers to pivoting from like a four in the back to three in the back, kind of.
I'm assuming that's the thing. So I'm not sure like where they're – term can't come from and comes from and what they're referring to pivoting, because that's what it – now that I have understood a little more, that's what it sounds like, is you're pivoting your back line out. But to me, I always kind of, when I heard the word, I imagined your midfielder going from left to right and steering the team that way, but that's not what it is.
Yeah, he just looks like he needs to get his legs back underneath him, his head back in it. It's tough, I mean, to take a broken nose. I know Belmar also suffered a broken nose earlier, but that was, I believe, before the season started, or at least in training, where he was able to come all the way back and not be forced into the lineup too quickly. Listen to the Breakaway podcast, and they talked about the broken nose there, and they were saying that Roro, it wasn't a discomfort or a pain thing, but he is just having trouble seeing the ball with that mask on, so that could be part of an issue.
Oh, wow.
All right, so just hopping back into our final thoughts on the match here, we're going to get to our three players of the match and wrap it up and look ahead in the schedule, but I know you had a stat on a certain gentleman in the starting 11 that I liked I enjoyed hearing it, and it's going to transition well into my top three men of the match. So Drop it on us, Blake.
Yeah, so I was just looking at the stats for our, you know, our attacking line here, and Sam Warner had 4 attempted crosses, and all of them were deemed successful by the USL stats, you know, catalog here. They're all deemed successful, so probably on target. Belmar had 5 attempted crosses, and they were all unsuccessful. And Bijev, which just makes a little bit more sense with him being placed in the middle more, only had 1 attempted cross, and it was unsuccessful as well. Another thing to speak in favor of Sam is he created 3 chances, and Bijev was able to create 1. So, I mean, there's some real obvious stats here to lean one way or another on who's going to be the better winger. You know, it's blatant judging from these stats. Then another thing, I'll save that for later. Actually, I'll save that for my top 3. What do you think about those stats though?
Yeah, I just think I like when stats back up what we thought, you know, the way that stats work also with, a lot of sports, most sports, is they're useful, but they can't tell you everything. So you can't trust stats when they don't match up with the eye test, and you can't trust the eye test when they don't match up with the stats. You've got to find a happy marriage of the two. So it's nice to, you know, we were both praised Werner and felt like Belmar needs to do a lot better. Like I said, I just feel like his head is down on every cross. I don't think he's chosen where to put the ball. He's just doing that that heavy step over and then just sending it in to anyone. You know, is anyone there? Anyone going to pick this up? No, definitely not. Like, it's over 5 today, and I bet if we went back, it'd be a very low rate throughout the season. So, but yeah, nice to see Werner do so well there. 4 out of 4 crosses found a teammate. I know I've talked about him on successful crosses before this season. So, yeah, he's going to be my number 3 man of the match. He's been in my top 3 a lot, but yeah, that's my guy.
I like that. I definitely like that. And did my stat kind of push it over, or were you leaning that way either way?
It definitely helped. I have an obvious 2 tonight, and I was looking for a 3rd, and that definitely helped seal the deal.
Awesome. Awesome. For my number 3, I put Dekle Cannon, man, and I have a stat to back it up now. Dekle Cannon, first half or second half only, because he played only in the second half, 9 clearances. That's a lot. And that's why I put him in my number 3.
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right that it's a lot. It's a ton. I've gone through the stats of most games this season. I've not seen a number that large in any game for any player. 9 clearances is just a ton. It's just a ton. So I think that this is a situation where I need to check my eye test of him and say that you were probably more right than I was on the eye test of him tonight. No surprise. I think you're a lot more experienced in breaking down soccer. But at the same time, when you bring in the 35-year-old who's supposed to be the steady presence, you also don't want a yellow card and a handball like in the first couple minutes that he's on the pitch. So I'm going to give him, you know, kind of conflicting marks, I guess. Some good, some bad from him. You know, also, I don't need to nitpick the stats, but also didn't record a tackle tonight. So it was mostly the clearances. But no, like you said, that's a really, really staggeringly high number for one half of soccer. So credit where credit is due. I'll move on to my number 2. This one's really easy. Don't have to dwell on it much. We talked about him a lot. Bijev he put the only goal in of the game. I, even before the goal, I was just saying that I really liked his presence, his creativity. He had a couple moves that had me kind of, he juked me out. I think he may have juked the cameraman out a couple times. I really thought he was going to go left. He went right. I thought he was going to cut outside. He cut inside. He was definitely juking the defenders off him. Really nice stuff from him.
I definitely want to say some things about him, but in my number two, I have Mr. Diaz. Overall, just a super great performance from him. There's definitely better feelings in sports, but one of the good feelings when you're watching a team get built like we are, we have this goal here. We're trying to become an MLS contender and not look awful when we get there. So we're not like necessarily in a rebuild, but we're in a building phase. And one of my favorite things during the building phase is when you bring someone in and you think they're going to be your knight in shining armor in a certain position. Maybe sometimes it doesn't always work out, which is fine. That's sports in general. Sometimes things don't work out the way you expected. Players don't fit the way you wanted. But then you start rotating. You start switching people up, and you find the guy. And he was there, you know, all along, or he's been waiting for his chance, and he proved it. Liverpool went through that. I felt very similarly with Robertson, one of our amazing center back, or I'm sorry, he's our left back. And it's just that feeling where it's like, we're looking, we can't find. And then all of a sudden it's the guy you didn't expect. So I love it. I super excited to watch Diaz play some more.
Yeah, he's my number one. I just thought that he was the difference tonight. You know, if he had played a weak game or even if he played poorly, this is a loss. If he had played even an average game, I think we're looking at a draw most likely. But he played a very good game. And I think that's the reason I'm going with him is more than anyone else, I feel like the points hinged on him tonight. Just a quick question for you, though. You talked about building a team, and I think you're referencing towards the future as well. He is 28, 29, so not like a young guy that will necessarily – it'd be, you know, goalkeepers can last quite a while in terms of getting up there in age, but not sure he's the type of guy that will make the transition to the MLS. Would you be interested at all in seeing Diego Ramos, who is the third keeper on the roster, just 17 years old right now, going to be 18 next month?
Yeah, it would have to – this – if we had, like, 6 points ahead of the next team, or even 5 points ahead of the next team to make these playoffs, you know, if we were in second place or first place clear by 5 points, 6 points, yeah, let's have some fun a little bit. You know, this is going to be a short thing. We're never going to play a tournament quite like this again, have a season quite like this again. It would fit a little better to have him play, but I don't think at this point, I think it's a little too early. I think you got to go with people you at least know are going to somewhat rise to the occasion, somewhat, you know what I mean? And goalkeeping is a tough position because usually you put a goalkeeper in, even if they're having a bad game, you got to kind of leave them there because you're not trying to waste a sub on a keeper.
Right. And you also, yeah, I mean, like that's if and when this team gets some friendlies scheduled, I would be really excited to watch him in a full 90 minutes in a friendly, but yeah, we don't really know when that's going to happen at this point.
And I think with that, mostly I wasn't necessarily saying he's the piece to the puzzle we were missing for the future, but I think he's a solution for now, for this current season in Rafael Diaz for sure.
And I mean, it's possible we might have to see some Ramos because I mean, Grinwis with the ACL, I mean, he just got bumped up to number two on the team sheet, I guess.
Yeah. So my number three was Bijev. Or number one is Bijev. I thought he had a really good game. It's, you know, I've said it before. It's tough to go to put you my number two if you score, especially if you score the only goal. It was a PK, so not so much there with just the finish, but he had a great game. I was gonna put him top three just based off of the enthusiasm he had today. Just a huge turnaround, huge kind of just a different Bijev from what we've seen this season. This is the Bijev that we were talking about preseason. This is supposed to be a season. This is supposed to be the year he turns around and becomes a star for this team. He's always been a name that we talked about, but never been that guy. And seemed like we were getting let down. This is the step in the right direction for sure.
All right, just real quick, previewing the games ahead on Saturday. The Republic are getting Tacoma Defiance at home. I think this is going to be a really fun rematch. You know, the 3-3 game, not an ideal result for them last month, but I thought a really fun game. Three goals in the first half. I would love to see that come back for this team. I mean, that's the Republic that we need to see again and hopefully soon. And it's nice. I mean, just to quickly reference, after that, they get Portland again two times in a row. Portland is negative 16 in goal differential. So hopefully this is going to be some get right games. Tacoma's been really feisty. They've got 7 points. They are third in the table of Group A right now. And as I mentioned before, just to continue to round out the standings, Sacramento Republic is now second in the table. Same amount of points as Reno. Both have 12 points, but Reno has a game in hand and an advantage of 2 in goal differential.
What are we playing Portland at home first and then away?
Let's see here. So home against Tacoma this Saturday. Then the following Saturday is another home game against the Portland Timbers, and then they go away again to Portland like they were in this most recent game, away up in Providence Park.
Got you. Yeah, I think with Tacoma, we should beat them at home. We should have beaten them at home last time. Hopefully this kind of shores up some of we're the best defensive team as far as the record goes. We're not a defensive team by any means, but this was kind of a more of a defensive feel this game. So hopefully that shores up some of those, the hemorrhaging of goals that happened against Tacoma last time. But we should beat them at home for sure. And then it's, you know, it might be a little taboo to say this, but it seems like two easy wins after that. So hopefully we can get a little bit of a run going on here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope. That's the hope. I think I actually need to double check this, but I believe Reno has surrendered less goals, slightly less goals per game. It's very, very close. Reno and Sacramento, obviously, like, super obviously the two better defenses in this group. There was a chance that, you know, if Republic had dropped, you know, had not earned any points tonight and Tacoma won their next game, that they would have jumped Sacramento in the standings. But now Sacramento 5 points safe above Tacoma. Of course, they got 9 more games to go. So for now, feeling pretty comfortable. Hopefully this run of 3 games against the second teams, you know, up in Tacoma and Portland, hopefully you can build on this. I mean, I don't want to be outrageous and say 9 points in 3 games, but I feel like 7 in 3 games is a good goal to set for yourself, a nice high bar to set for yourself.
2 wins and a draw. Yeah, I can get on board with that. It gives you the little bit of wiggle room, gives you ability to make a mistake if you have to, but don't lose. I can get on board with that.
And yeah, while I wanted this to be a really high scoring, high flying, exciting team, I think we're looking more at a team that's really strong defensively. You know, the back line was shaky tonight. I think it was a little bit shaky in the most recent game against Portland as well. But playing those two holding midfielders in Skundrich and Villarreal, really, especially with Diaz stepping up, this does seem more of a team that's going to get a lot of 1-0 wins and not so much those 3-1, 3-2 wins.
Yeah, and a win's a win, I guess. 3 points is always good. I have nothing else to add. I don't know about you.
Yeah, let's wrap it up there. We'll be back on Saturday night to break down the Tacoma game. Thanks, everybody.
Peace.